Well, it was quite an event, the first hour. Like, whatever could go wrong went wrong for me. And it started out, I tried to give an offering, and I missed the offering basket. And then there went my lifesaver. And I didn't want to lose my lifesaver or drop the lifesaver in the offering, Lord knows, right? So that was a mess. And then later, you know, I tried to get my clock to work, and it doesn't work. And so I had to use the phone, and of course, as I'm trying to figure out how to use this to get the clock on, there went the phone on the floor. And then my remote, that didn't work, okay? The battery went on the remote, so I couldn't. Like, everything that could go wrong for this pastor went wrong this morning, and so I just kind of fumbled through, and Arlen helped me. Thank goodness for Arlen. He helped me. I think we have new batteries now, so let's see. You know, look at that. Yes. Oh, life is so much better now in this world of mine. Oh, what those little things, you're like, oh my goodness, get a grip, pastor, you know. And we're following that shepherd, you know. It's crazy, all those different things. But anyway, all that to say is today we're going to be talking about humility. And all the way through, it was a reminder that we need to surrender. It's not our will, it's His will. And even when He throws you those curves, it's a matter of walking with Him in life and surrendering. And it's not easy, right? When you go through those times where there's the curveball and there's this whole different way of doing life, it's not easy turning it back over to Him. And so today we're going to be talking about that whole spirit of Christmas, because when I think about Mary and Joseph, there's a constant reminder that their lives were one of humility and saying, God, we're all in. And we're going to turn things over to You. We're going to allow You to work in our lives. And that whole spirit of Christmas is a result of humility. Humility where we die to self and allow God to work in our lives. And we turn things over to Him. We live in a culture that's just the opposite. We live in a culture where evolution teaches survival of the fittest. In the corporate world, it's, you know, whoever climbs to the top and finds success, no matter who you have to kind of push aside. And there's that as well in that kind of rat race. And then as consumers, I mean, just look at what's going on out there today in the malls and everything else in the shops. And it's, I want what I want when I want it. And we just kind of push everybody else aside. Humility. Mary and Joseph understood the value of humility. Mary and Joseph knew that there was a sense of purpose and direction in their lives because they were able to get out of the way, and it wasn't about ego, it was about turning things over to God. Humility. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Die to self and be willing to give up your rights and turn it over to Him. Surrender your life to Him. And Mary and Joseph did that throughout the story of the Christmas account of the birth of a Savior. There was a constant reminder over and over that Mary and Joseph understood that spirit of humility because they surrendered to the Lord's will. Mary, we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. Mary basically just turned it over to God and says, okay, God, whatever it is, you know, what Your will is, I'm Your bondservant and I will follow You. And she did that. And it was a tremendous challenge for her to do that as a young woman, probably 14, 15 years old, faithful unto the Lord. But she willingly, all the way through when Jesus came and she gave birth to that child, all the way through that whole process, when the Father asked of her, to give up her rights, she was willing to do that and even suffer shame because of being pregnant out of wedlock. And she was willing to do that. I am the Lord's bondservant. Here I am. I am surrender. I'll give my life. I'll surrender my will, my will to Your plan. And God has a plan. He did that in Joseph's life as well. And we're told in Matthew chapter 1 that when it came to Joseph, he also had to kind of give up his rights and surrender his life to the Lord. Joseph experienced humility by understanding that he had a special place as well in this story, in this account, in this narrative. In verse 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, I was kind of explaining that to our kids on Wednesday night, you know, before they came together, you know, and it didn't go well. I'm just, you know it's not going well when grade school kids are kind of looking at you like, and I just kept, anyway, I wish I had this version. This was, they came together and, you know, what does that mean, Pastor, you know? Yeah, all good. But anyway, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that as well, and that it even went worse. But anyway, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So he's thinking, okay, if you're pregnant, okay, I'll just kind of quietly divorce you. We don't need to cause any shame. And in this kind of culture, they had the right to stone that person because of the exposure, which is crazy when you think about it. But he wanted to just kind of quietly protect her life and do that in a way where he would just divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is connecting the dots. He understands this is the Messiah. This is the one that's been promised. He's the Savior of the world, and what an incredible thing that he would be part of that narrative, part of that story. And he understands the magnitude of us all. And so he took place, he says, this all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph understood that verse. He knew what was prophesied about the Savior. And then I love this response. Out of obedience, out of a life surrendered, here's what he says. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. I'm all in. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And he surrendered his will to God's will. And he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Just Mary, I'm the Lord's bondservant. I'll follow you. My life is surrendered. I'll do what you call me to do. Joseph does what the Lord commands for him to do. And he understands the value of a following through with that. God has a plan. And sometimes he asks us to follow his plan. And sometimes it's not easy. And this would have been a very difficult thing for both Mary and Joseph to do. But they followed after God's heart and they understood his values and what he wanted rather than their rights. And sometimes God has a plan that includes a job that maybe you're thinking, that's not the job that I really wanted, and that's not the location that I wanted. Like, where's Medina, Ohio? They have snow there, and maybe you're having, all of a sudden you're at this place, and then you get into the job, and then the job becomes more difficult than you ever imagined. You're thinking, God, I prayed about this. What do you mean? This is your will. Or maybe you're in a situation in a relationship where it's just difficult and you struggle with some of those things, but God has a plan for that relationship and you need to keep working through it because God has a plan. And you say, not my will, but your will, God. And maybe there's a situation where there's difficulties and you're trying to overcome some of those health issues or dealing with something that is just very much like a boulder in front of you. And you're saying, this wasn't the story. This wasn't what you wanted for my life, is it, God? And in the midst of it all, God says, will you surrender? And will you give up your rights and can follow after my heart and know that I care about you and I have a plan for your life? Sometimes we're asked to forgive when we don't want to forgive. We want to say, vengeance is mine, saith Doug. We want to hold on to that bitterness, or we want to hold on to that right to say, I will not forgive that person because you don't know the harm that they've caused me. The story of Corey Ten Boom is a great example of somebody who understood the value of forgiveness. And the story is told of her as she's talking and publicly sharing her faith. And in the midst of all that she went through at one of those meetings with people that were Christ followers, here comes the concentration guard who was at her prison. And she lost her sister. She lost her sister during that time. And there was a lot of just struggles that she had with all what that prison camp, World War II prison camp, concentration camp, what it meant for her. And in the audience is the prisoner, is the person in charge of the prisoner. He's there, and she has this conversation with the prison guard after the meeting. And he says to her, you know, I'm a follower of Christ now, and God's forgiven me, and he's cleaned up my life. He's changed me from the inside out. And he says to her, will you forgive me? And she says, you know, it was the hardest thing in the world for me because I'm shaking. I don't want to do this. But she forgave that prison guard and all the shame, all the stuff, that, all the bitterness, things. She had to let go of that and allow God to forgive that person and for her as well to forgive that person. Incredible story of grace and of love. Who is in your life where you're saying, I don't want to forgive that person. You don't understand what they've done to me. Could have been a relationship way back, and you've held on to some of that hurt or some of that pain. Maybe it's a situation right now that you're in, and you know that if there's not grace and forgiveness in that relationship, it's not going to go on. It's not going to be blessed by God. And he wants you to forgive, and he wants you to let go. Maybe for you, that's what God is kind of working on your heart and humbling you and asking you to do. Because a spirit of humility is seen in surrender, where we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. The spirit of humility is also expressed in knowing and accepting God's plan. See, Mary's response as God encourages her with all this as she hurries off to go see Elizabeth. And we talked about that last week. She hurries off to go see Elizabeth, see whether it's true that her relative Elizabeth is also with child, and is it true? I imagine, you know, when she saw it, what a great, you know, relief to say, okay, this is part of the story. And she understood, and the miracle of, you know, as she's there and her child and John, you know, just the child that was in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy and all of that experience. And it was this confirmation that God's involved in all of this. It's a special story that God's involved in all this. And so her response is she hurries off and she wants to obey God and she follows God's heart and she does it willingly. And the same is true when it comes to the relationship that John eventually has with Jesus and how he understands that, you know, I'm the one that is coming to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. And John is there baptizing. He's doing an incredible job. It's a great gig. Lots of people are being baptized. Yay, God, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. But that wasn't his attitude. It was one of humility. And because he had humility, when Jesus comes to John, he wants to be baptized by John, and he humbly does that. I mean, that's an incredible thing, that he would be the one to baptize Jesus, the Messiah. And then there's that just continual purpose that he had, which was, I need to get out of the way. I'm to prepare the way for the Messiah. And greater is he, right? He's the one that's worthy of praise. He's the one that's meant to get all the praise and all the celebration. So John, who had it really well, like he was very popular and everybody, takes a step back and points to the Messiah. He says, he's the one that's to be glorified. He's the one that's meant to be honored. You see, the spirit of humility expressed in knowing and accepting God's plan for our lives. And when we're in the center of God's will and we're content there in the center of God's will, there's nothing like the joy of knowing that we're in that will and that God is doing a work in our lives. And there's great contentment, joy of doing what God wants us to do and having that purpose, having that direction in our lives. And sometimes that means moving out of the way and saying, somebody else is going to take that place. David Robinson, some of you know this great athlete, played for San Antonio, David Robinson. It was interesting. Somebody in our first service, I think it was Anita, actually went to school with him, rode the bus with him in high school. Imagine that. And talked about how even in high school, he was a faithful follower of Christ, that he was reading the Bible and telling everybody and sharing about love of Christ, you know, and things like that. Isn't that neat in our little church? You know, like we, like, you know, you want to rub shoulders with Anita, you know, like, oh, man, she knows somebody really popular, like David Robertson. Wow. But anyway, true story. Listen to this. In a 1998-99 NBA season, David Robertson, who was an all-star veteran center for San Antonio, learned to share the limelight with the new dominant player of the league. His name was Tim Duncan, and he was also just as huge, right? Tim Duncan, younger. And so they win the NBA playoffs. And, of course, it wasn't David Robinson who was a star. It was Tim Duncan. And in a Sports Illustrated article, here's what David Robinson said. I can't overstate how important my faith has been to me as an athlete and as a person. It's helped me deal with so many things, including matters of ego and pride. For instance, I can't deny that it felt weird to see Tim standing on the podium with the finals MVP trophy. And I'm thinking, man, never have I come to the end of a tournament and not been the one holding up a trophy like that. And it was hard. But I thought about the Bible story of David and Goliath. David helped King Saul with a battle, but the king wasn't happy because he had killed thousands of men while David had killed tens of thousands. So King Saul couldn't enjoy the victory because he was thinking about David getting more credit than he was. I'm blessed that God has given me the ability. Get this. I'm blessed that God's given me the ability to just enjoy the victory. So Tim killed the tens of thousands. That's great. I'm all for him. I'm all in it for him. Isn't that cool? Like John steps aside. But why is he able to do that? Because he understands his role. And when you know what your purpose is, in life is, when you understand your purpose and you accept that, you'll do what you need to do to get out of the way. Life isn't about finding yourself, it's about discovering who God created you to be. David Robertson knew that. He knew that a relationship with Jesus Christ meant all the difference in the world, and he could kind of push aside the ego because Christ was working in and through his life. And because of humility, he was able to, in a sense, step aside and celebrate the success of his teammate. I like this little quote here. It's not about me. Day one, a purpose-driven life. Everything got started in him, and it finds its purpose in him. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? At church, there's a purpose that we all have. Every one of us have a role. Some of it's behind the scenes, and nobody sees. You know, for some, it's ushering. For others, it's up here in the worship, dealing with worship and music. And I'm glad that I don't have that gift, but others have that gift. And it's so good to have all of those different people in the body of Christ using their gifts, some behind the scenes, some up front, but we're all working together for his glory and his honor. What's his purpose in your life? Do you know it, even in the church? What's your purpose when it comes to Monday morning? It's not about a job. It's not about just going through the motions and doing your job, or it's not just being a student. It's about how you rub shoulders with people around you so that you can share the love of Christ and you can be Christ to them. And so where does that show up in your world and throughout the week and in your home when you're dealing with family and some of the dysfunction that you'll deal with even around the Christmas season? As you deal with that and as you rub shoulders with those individuals, where does the love of Christ and how do you show Jesus to the people around you? Every one of us has a purpose. And when you know that purpose, man, there's great joy. There's great contentment in life. There's the sense of, I am designed for this. Bev and I recently were just talking about this. And I know I'm meant to be a pastor of a smaller church where I get to do a lot of different things. And that's just who I am. And I love being able to rub shoulders with these teens and you know, have a lot of fun with the kids and try and explain to them the virgin birth, you know, all that. Anyway, you know. And I love being able to take our kids and go to the Medina County home and share through music and seeing our kids do that. And I get to be, every Sunday I get it to, I explain it this way. You deliver your baby, okay, the message. You deliver your baby, and then you're pregnant on Monday again, okay? And it's a cycle, right? There's a new message, you know. Okay, I love that. You know, I love being able to have that time of preparing a message and being able to share a message. And I don't always love the fact that God works in my heart at times to, you know, he teaches me. No, that's a good thing, that he's teaching me as well along the way and helping to build into my life through that message as well. You see, God has a purpose in all of our lives. What's your purpose? What's your direction? And when you have that and you understand that, you'll surrender to him and you'll say, God, it's not about what I want. It's really about what you want. And you have gifted me this way. Therefore, I'll follow you and I'll do what you've called me to be about. Mary and Joseph both understood that value. And the spirit of humility is found in the acceptance of God's gift and grateful worship of the newborn king. Mary praises God for salvation. She needed a Savior just as much as anybody else. She praises God for that. Simeon praises God that he was able to hold this Jesus, the Messiah, in his arms, and he gives praise. Anna, the prophetess, was also able to say, in him comes redemption, the redemption of Jerusalem. And there was that constant reminder all the way through the scriptures and the narrative that this Jesus is something very special. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Savior of the world. And I think about, in that humility, how a few years ago I trusted Christ and asked him to come into my life. And it changed everything about the journey. And many of you have done the same thing, where you've turned your life over to Jesus. You asked him to come into your life. We're told in the scriptures that when we believe and receive the gift, that he comes into our life and he changes us. And then you have this assurance. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. I think about 2018, and there was a long journey of different things going on in my life and how crazy at times it was. And in the midst of it all, there was a peace. There was a peace because I have a Savior. And he's in control of my life, and I can turn things over to him, and I can trust him. And when I tell people I'm in my fourth quarter, I'm beginning my fourth quarter, okay, of life, I'm okay with that because I know that absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I'll see my friends and family one day because of my faith. Faith. Not in what I've done, but in what Jesus Christ did for me. He's my forgiver. He's my Savior. And it changes everything. And it gives me an assurance. So I have a peace. I get on that plane and it goes down. I'm good because I have a Savior that's in control. And he's the one that provides that peace in my life. Do you have that peace? Do you have that assurance? Because that's what gives you the opportunity to praise the Lord, to know that he's the Savior of the world and he can bring change into your life. There's a self-directed life, and some of you are still on that throne. Self is directing the life, and you're on the throne, and you're saying, I'm going to do my own thing. Christ is outside the life, and because of that, you're directing your own interest. I'm telling you, you won't be content in life. There'll be frustrations in your life as long as you're on the throne. But the Christ-directed life is one where he's the one on the throne and you're yielding. Self is yielding your life to Christ. Surrender to him. And I'll guarantee you, here's what happens. Immediately, when you start to turn your life over to him, you accept the gift, you turn your life over to him, yield your life to him, peace, harmony, a joy, fruits of the Spirit. Yield your life to him, and that's what he promises. He says, I came that I might have life and might have it abundantly. That's the kind of life that God provides. if we surrender to Him. Some like to be on the middle. I have conversations a lot of times with people here, and they're like, well, can't I just be in the middle? I didn't give you that option, right? No. It's either self on the throne or Christ on the throne. It's not, you know. Here's what happens. Sometimes we give our life to Christ, and then we go back to letting self be on the throne. That does happen. But you're either pregnant or you're not. You're either born again or you're not born again. You need to turn your life over and ask God to come into your life and be your forgiver, your leader, and it changes everything. And as a result, you're able to give Him praise because the salvation is found not in what you've done, but it's found in what Jesus Christ did. Because in Philippians 2, it says He humbled Himself even to the point of death, death on the cross. He gave up His rights, born in the stable, born with such a sense of humility. God's love was shown there. Incarnation, just a beautiful account that God's love was shown in the mess of life in the world around us. And there's nothing like allowing God to change your life, turning it over to Him. And because you do that, there's praise and there's value, worth in what He's done. Billy and Kristen were here in the first service, and they had a little Olivia, and so we introduced Olivia to the church family. I kid you not, she got the message. Her hands were like this. Okay, as she came forward, Billy's holding her hands like this. She just praising Jesus, you know? Praising Jesus, right? It's a cool thing, cool thing. Just a reminder of our message today. But I'm telling you, when we have faith, it changes you. And you have that assurance that you know where you're going to spend eternity. There's a peace that this world doesn't offer. And my prayer is that if you've never given your life to Jesus, that you would do so even today. He'd say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me from the inside out. I need a Savior. I need a forgiver. Would you come into my life, and would you be that Savior for me? I trust today would be that day that if you've never given your life over, that you would do that today. Let's pray as we close. Lord, I thank You for just helping me in the mess of that first service, how crazy that was, man. And yet in the midst of it all, You were in control. You wanted this message to come through clearly. And I thank You, Lord, that I was able to get out of the way and allow You to speak into the lives of people today that need to hear about the love of God. Lord, help us to live lives surrendered to You, just like Mary and Joseph. Help us to live lives of humility where we die to self and turn things over to You. But Lord, there's probably one of the most important, humble things that we can do in our lives is finally give it over and say, I need a Savior. And I pray for anyone here today that just is holding on to pride and self is on the throne. I pray, Lord, You'd help them to get out of the way and accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Would You help them, Lord, to understand faith and that they would believe and trust and say, Christmas 2018 is when I gave my life to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would break down the pride, would break down those things where they're holding on to, whether it's religion or their past or just whatever it is, Lord, would You break down that pride? And would You help them to humbly receive the gift of eternal life? I thank You, Lord, for that gift. And as a result, it gives us great praise to know that we have a Savior. It gives us the opportunity to praise You and turn things over to You and ask You, Lord, to just do that continual work in our lives. We give You praise. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We worship. We adore You because You're the Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.